be.
I just a change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'm like
be.
You and I
be.
Hard to say if I was richer.
Hello and welcome to the S Word Stuff segment. This is what, 36 or is it
34?
35. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm not. Anyway, I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Andy Scheffler.
And hello, this is Amy, back again.
Amy's had almost a year off.
No.
I've been gone for a while, too. While I've been gone, the stuff segment got older than I am.
So, what have you guys been up to?
Work.
Yeah, work.
I'm a working stiff, that's what.
Well, you work for a different company now, don't you?
Yes, but in the same office.
That's weird.
I'm like the
Wait,
office
same
furniture.
Office?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you went over to the office next door. Or
they took over. In? They took over the old office as well.
Is all the furniture the same too?
All the furniture is the same.
That
I
is
sit,
weird.
I
that
sit
is
5 feet really away from my feeling. Old desk. They offered me my old desk.
Jesus,
you're like, man, I should have took better care of my desk.
I
in the
know.
Last 2 weeks, I was like trashing it.
When I started, they're like, hey, so you used to sit at this desk, right? What's with all the burn marks?
Wait, what?
Well, actually, it's not actual burn marks. It's heat marks on the desk because the laminate's really cheap and crappy. So if you put like a hot mug with like liquid in it, it'll create rings on the desk. Looks like you burned it. Yeah.
And it wasn't just because, you know, every time that the desk misbehaved, you'd take the cigarette to it.
Shh. They're not supposed to know.
Oh, sorry.
There's no smoking inside.
It fell down the stairs. Into fire. All right, so anyway, the topic of this stuff is going to be indie comics because, you know, we've just had the Scott Pilgrim episode and it's gotten us into that sort of that Oni Press indie mindset. So I asked you guys to assemble a list of, you know, your favorite indie comics and let's get into it. Kevin, I know you're bursting at the seams.
Yeah, you said three, right?
I said three because that's the easy one, but if you have more than three, it's fine.
Okay, well, I'll go from 10 till 4. That way we can all start on the same ground, right?
Well, I have 5, so I'll go down
to 5.
Yeah.
I managed to think of 3.
Okay.
I have none. What am I doing
here? Like, I have a lot, but I just any that are worthy of being called favorite. But anyway,
you're here because Lita is in Europe right now and we haven't had a girl in a while. Not counting Chris.
Wait, why does Chris count?
Yes, dude. Yesterday I was telling Chris, I was like, you're so dressed up. Aren't you supposed to be chasing tail instead of hanging out with us? And then Dom wanted to rip his shirt open.
Number 10.
Number 10. I'll just list them. I don't want to give my reasons.
Sure.
So number 10, American-born Chinese.
That's a very
cliched
good one.
Saying that. 9, Asterios Polyp. Number 8, The Flight Series. And so those are anthologies. 7, Fortune and Glory.
Nice.
And 6 is Smile.
Which one's Smile?
Smile is it actually started off as a webcomic, and it's a female comic book artist, and she put together a story about when she was growing up and how she, the two years she had braces. So during that early high school period. It's really, really good.
Okay. Cool. Andy, what about you?
I thought of 3. I mean, I could start naming more.
What do you have that didn't make your list? What were you thinking of that you wanted?
Book Hunter, which is another, it's Jason Shiga. So he's done a bunch of comics.
Oh, didn't he just recently did one last year, right?
I think that might have been the most recent one. He's done a couple of really, he's completely out there and just, he's local and he just does, like the classic one that he did was also his Fleep. It's like this man, he's trapped in a phone booth, and based on just working things out, he figures out the whole story just takes place within the phone booth, and just it only has one character, and it's a real trip.
Okay.
Like does he the talk movie to about someone? The phone booth?
He's talking out loud.
when the one that's called Phone Booth?
Right, about the guy in the phone booth?
Yeah.
The booth in the entire movie?
It's the same artist. He draws his people kind of like really shapely, not shapely.
Well,
like they look like shapes.
Yeah, right? Well, a lot of artists have that style. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's see. Fortune and Glory is on my list just because it was how I discovered Bendis, and I really, really like the part where he's trying to sell out, where he's trying to pitch Torso to a movie studio, I think, and then the story's called Total Sellout, right?
I can't remember. I read the whole collected edition.
Yeah. I just find that entire part really brilliant. So anyway, let's go with our five, down to three, right, Kevin? So
sure, you've got five then too, right?
Yeah.
My number five is Box Office Poison, which is a great... So it's about an 800-page story, but it's a story about six different people and how they all eventually end up knowing each other. Mm-hmm. And partially it is about superheroes and that they have a character that is an old comic book artist that kind of got screwed out of a character. I think it's called Nightman, basically Batman. Nice. And the whole concept of how old comic book creators kind of lost all the rights to their creations.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the whole Marvel and DC are evil concept.
Oh, man. Mm. On my number five, actually, I have a Japanese artist who I've gone to visit a couple times. There's Comic Con going on right now in Japan. And that just reminds, you know, when I think of independent comics, every once in a while I go over there where there's basically nothing mainstream there. It's all independent artists who get together and sell, well, porn, but anyway.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't it mostly pornography?
It's like, well, it's only about 70% porn.
Oh, only 70%.
I think 70 is mostly.
That is technically true, yes. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of, like, independent stuff that goes on there, and, it's where everyone gets discovered, really. You know, you draw your own comic, you self-publish, you bring it there, you sell it for like $4 or $5, and then every once in a while, a big publisher discovers you and says, "Hey, we want you to do this project for us." And so, one of my favorite ones was discovered there. His name's Sekihiko Inui, and his publisher's his circle name is Mixism. And he's gone on to do, like, the comic party stuff. He's doing Ratman right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I know that name. You guys talked about this guy
I've before. Talked about this guy. He's a really fun guy. But anyway, yeah, that's my number five is his independent work. Because, you know, he's gone big these days. So what's your number four, Kevin?
My number four, man, Lee's going to hate me for saying this. So this is kind of like my anti-Scott Pilgrim choice. So Adrian Tomine, he's also a local comic book artist. He did the Optic Nerve series, and three of his books I particularly like. They're Shortcomings, Sleepwalk, and Summer Blonde. They're all stories also just about, you know, early, like, young adults and different kind of lives they live. He's really good at capturing loneliness, and all of his kind of dialogue works very well. He says that he goes out to public and, like, to coffee shops and writes down what people are actually saying to each other so he can get a better sense of dialogue.
Interesting.
All of his stories end up... He doesn't actually end the stories. It's kind of like you jump in at the beginning and it just ends right before the climax. So it's always kind of like you're stuck wondering what actually happens to these people and you create kind of what you think happens.
Just like real life.
And yeah, I take exactly. And I take it that's why Lita hates it?
No, Lita hates it, and this is kind of the same reason why I said this kind of relates to people that, like, younger teens that really like Scott Pilgrim, is that it's the kind of thing that you read that if you haven't experienced it in your life yourself, you won't understand what you're reading. And she had tried to read it when she was in high school, because that was, like, one of the hip things for the alternative kids, and she just didn't like it. So she kind of has a prejudgment about it, even though I'm saying, like, you should read it. It's really good. She's like, no, because it's Optic Nerve, and I already have my judgment on it.
I see. Yeah, my number four is a webcomic. It's Sheldon, and it's a pretty fun one. I like it. I like the guy, and, you know, he had a chance to go syndicated, and he rejected it because he knows these days that he's going to get much more out of independent comics than he is going to get out of newspaper syndication, because the newspaper is dead. And he was saying, it's like, they were going to drive me into the ground. And so, you know, I started my own publishing imprint. And so one of the things he does is he has a podcast that is all about the business and, like, the background of how to create your own comic and stuff like that. Like, and how he's a sort of a mentor to a lot of other webcomic people, and I really appreciate all the stuff that Dave Kellett's been doing for the community. Like, he actually goes on lecture tours and stuff like that to try and promote the independent comic form. So I really appreciate that.
So we're going to do webcomics.
I need to do
a number four because there's going to be one that would push the rest of them.
And remember,
down.
Yeah, webcomics are a lot. Megatokyo doesn't count because they're published by DC.
I'm not going to. Megatokyo sucks.
I wouldn't even choose Megatokyo.
I didn't even cross my mind.
But it's published by DC, so it doesn't count by under our rules.
Are they Dark Horse now?
It's DC now.
Oh, they switched. Never mind.
Yeah, they switched.
Anyway, oh, yeah, and now it's actually DC.
Yeah, X-Cop is Dark Horse.
Oh, yeah, X-Cop would count.
So because I have a new entry that pushed down my number three, I'm going to have a number four now.
All right.
X-Cop. So,
no, it is not X-Cop.
Dr. McNinja?
No, it'll be Pedro and Me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's my number 11. It just missed my list.
Ah, okay.
That was a webcomic?
No, I'm saying there was a webcomic on my list on the top that pushed all the other ones down. So now my 1, 2, and 3 are my 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, all right. Good, I'm glad it's represented.
Yes.
All right, cool. Let's go to our 3 then.
Wait, what's it about?
What's it about?
Some guy named Pedro.
Well, and Judd Winnick, who is the me, who was on...
The real world.
I'm like, yes, I could not remember the name of the reality show with Pedro, I forget his last name, who had...
I'm looking at the Wikipedia
now. Oh, you're looking at the Wikipedia now.
Pedro Zamora.
Zamora, thank you. Who had AIDS, or was HIV positive, I guess more technically, while he was on the real world, and they all ended up bonding, and it's basically the story of how he met the story of the show and how the people reacted to it, and basically how he died. And everyone's...
It's a really good exploration about understanding the AIDS culture before a lot of people actually did. Does he still do the... I think he stopped for a while, right? The tour he would go around to, like, schools and talk about...
Yeah, he took up the mantle because Pedro was doing the talk and going talking to high school kids. And after Pedro passed away, he was doing that for himself. But now he's... Basically, he realized his life as a cartoonist. That was his lifelong dream. And the exposure that he got... during the real world, basically got him. Was it the Frumpy the clown? Was his
Frumpy the clown?
Yes,
and then he did.
So he got that syndicated
that other kid one.
Yeah, and then he got the
Barry Ween.
Barry Ween, thank you. Which
Dom's just cheating.
Yeah.
Well, no, I actually know this one. We've met Ed Winnick before.
Yeah. So yeah, and then he's just like a staff writer for DC at this point.
Yeah, I don't like the stuff he's doing now compared to before. I mean, because Green Arrow's fine, and then what's he doing now?
He's doing
Brightest Day has many writers, so he's doing that. He just finished a Batman miniseries. Basically all sorts of stuff for DC.
Okay. So let's go to our top three then.
Okay. I think I actually might have three. Webcomics are okay then.
Webcomics are okay.
All three are webcomics.
All right.
The thing is that webcomics are the future of independent comics. It's free to publish. All you need to do is find a website and an image host. When you get bigger, then you actually have to start paying for it. But it's, the ultimate expression of independent comics. You put it out there. If someone likes it, they pick it up. And so my number three actually is from college. I haven't read it much since college. But it introduced me to Oni Press. It's Blue Monday by China Cluxton Major.
Yes.
Although I think she's just China Cluxton now.
I've never heard of this book.
You haven't?
No.
Well, it hasn't come out very often since like 2003 or so.
Yeah, she did a bunch of miniseries, and most of them have been collected in trades.
Yeah.
In the manga series.
There's four different ones, and it's very John Hughes with a little bit of like Japanese manga influence, but not very much. But it's mostly about teenagers, and it's really raunchy and just funny.
And it's set to an 80s soundtrack. Oh,
so they give you the track list.
Yeah, she says, this is the song that's playing while you should keep it in your head while you're reading this.
And, it is very John Hughes inspired. And I really like the characters. They're believably teenage. The entire first arc is about escalating warfare between the two of them, the girls and the guys. Where eventually the guys steal her favorite stuffed animal, and she steals his favorite porno mag and holds a lighter up to it.
Okay.
It's really...
Yeah, that's what both genders care about.
Well, no, it's like I said, it's very John Hughes. It's wacky, it's very teen without actually being super angsty, And I really enjoyed it a lot. And I wonder if I've missed any of them, actually, because it's so long in between them. But anyway, that's my number three, Oni Press's Blue Monday. Kevin?
So we're talking about webcomics here. Actually, my number three has... It was created during the time before webcomics became kind of that exposure, but it's also an incredibly independent comic called True Story, Swear to God.
Yes.
And this is based upon an actual real-life romance that occurred, and it's incredibly cartoony in some ways. It reads kind of sometimes like a comic strip, but it's also goes through the motions of an actual 22-page comic. There actually is a set of like 100 comic strips that he did as well. This is from Tom Beeland, and he used to be a local living up in Napa until he moved out to Puerto Rico for his wife. And this is really the story, partially about their romance, but also about how to get big in the independent comics kind of industry. He shuffled around for a while. He ended up distributing some of his stuff through Comic Relief in Berkeley. And there's even Rory in one of the panels in his comic. Cool. And yeah, it's a great read, and it's not so heavy about drama. It's just fun and nice.
Yeah, that's the same thing I think about Blue Monday. While we're on the subject a little bit, we should give a shout out to Comic Relief and Rory, because he's the one who got all of us into these independent comics. A lot of us wouldn't have discovered them without Comic Relief and his enthusiasm for those comics.
And his balance, where you walk into any other comic store and it's all superhero comics. You walk into Comic Relief and superhero comics are in the back.
Yeah, I don't feel as weird going in.
You don't feel like an outcast?
I generally don't go into comic book stores, except I usually just order my stuff now. But
well, why not, Kevin? Why not?
Have you read the latest Batman? He's so cool.
No, that's okay.
Not all comic stores are like that.
A lot of them are. There was one that I grew up with, basically, down in South Bay. And I realized they just recently reopened under a different name. I went in there one day, and I was like, oh my god, these are the ones I don't want to go to. It's just like very like white walls, and then whatever posters taped to the walls, and then all superhero comics, and like I think no independent comics at all. Or if there are some, they're in the back, or they'll tell you to read Vertigo.
Yeah, well, the comic store I go to, which I should shout out, is Comic Conspiracy in Sunnyvale.
That's a cool one, actually. Yeah,
yeah. The owner, actually, he has his own podcast, and I don't even remember what the name of it is, because I don't listen to them that much.
Comic Conspiracy?
Geekbox. So yeah, there's some of the regulars that are kind of the stereotypes, but at least the guys who work there and the owner are not that bad.
That's really the way that you make your comic stores. It starts with the owner and the employees, because if they're snots, then everyone else will be snots. And if they're like superhero geeks, then everyone else will get attracted to that kind of thing.
As much as we love Comic Relief, Lita had a bad experience going there to buy Fables one time. Can you believe you have a bad experience going to Comic Relief to buy Fables?
I actually almost had one recently, yeah.
Yeah, so as much as we love that store, it's not the same store.
It hasn't been the same since Rory died.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Andy, I think we were on your number three?
Oh, my number three. Okay, so we already said webcomics were open, and I was going to try to dance around this by saying it started as print and moved to webcomics.
Girl Genius?
Girl Genius is my number three. So,
damn it.
Well, we can talk about it now.
Yeah, you guys really like that thing. I've still never read it.
You need to read it. It is really good. It has the tellings of a story that they know exactly where it's going. The characters are well thought out. It's funny. It's well drawn.
Well, the whole thing is that...
And the world is just very well thought out.
They've been working on the world for like 15 years. It was 10 years before they actually started putting pencil to paper that they had pretty much everything worked out, because he was doodling it for basically his entire life. He's like, oh, let's see if we put some goggles on that, and then like little gears and cogs, and he really just likes drawing machinery, very Rube Goldbergian machinery. But in the story came out of that, and he's like, well, I can build a story around this kind of world.
Yeah, so like the last time when I talked to him, which was at a WonderCon a couple years back, and I asked like, how far through the story are we? And he said, yeah, we're maybe about halfway through. Like, he knows exactly what's going to happen. And, like, in a very sort of, I was going to say J. Michael Straczynski sort of way, because he's the one who always seems to pop to my mind. He's worked plot points from the future involving like time travel and stuff into the earlier stories. And
so it's like Lost.
And it'll actually feel planned.
Yes, like Lost.
Well, no, Lost is kind of the opposite of that. Lost is they paint themselves into a corner and like, okay, wait, how can we explain this?
No, really?
It seems like they planned this.
I think they thought everything out.
Oh, just like Heroes, right?
Right.
If you watch the last 12 minutes in the DVD box set, it explains everything, kind of.
What like, about the bird?
3%. They just dropped food.
Amy, what's your number 3?
Gandhi the Avenger.
Really?
Just kidding.
What is that? Is that real?
Oh. No, I made it up.
Oh, I wanted to be real.
That would be cool if it was
really real.
Maybe one of you guys should get on that.
In college, I was reading Battle Pope.
Oh, I still... Awesome. God, Battle Pope is so...
trashy.
Yeah, it's so trashy.
I was going to say XKCD, even though it's not well drawn.
Oh, that does and count.
It does count.
It's really good.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, it's not well drawn, and it's very niche-y in terms of its audience, but it's awesomely nerdy, and I get a good laugh out of it. Yeah.
Oh, I know what one of your other choices is going to be. Or if it's not one of those choices, I'm going to be disappointed.
Uh-oh.
So yeah, my number 2 is Girl Genius by the Folios. It's another of those really groundbreaking webcomics in that, you know, they started out in print and they went, this isn't working out. Let's go onto the web like other comics. And they, once again, are very successful in their self-publishing. And I really respect their work because these guys have been in like the fantasy and science fiction illustration business since the 80s. And, you know, they just decide to go online and they're like, hey, let's keep going with this.
That's a good success story, at least.
It really is. And also, random plug, if you go back into our archives, you can hear me interviewing Phil at San Diego Comic Con last year. And probably next year when we go again, I'll go and try and interview him again. Why
I
the hell not?
I want to go again.
Let's go.
This year I felt like that weekend I was like...
we'll go.
Undeserving people that are there.
We'll go, and you know what we'll do? We'll make a promise not to go near Hall H.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing. If I could do a year with.
What, you don't
Hall
want
H.
your eye poked out with a pen?
Oh. You,
except that actually
you ungrateful
didn't happen,
people.
But...
I would love to see that.
Yes, fight for my affection.
I love how nerd fights are like, I'm going to get out my pen.
Anyway.
And just scratch you near your eye.
Yeah. And then tell everyone I poked.
All right, Kevin.
All right, my number 2 is the Essex County. And this is something I just read last year. And I can't believe I was not following it when it was coming out individually. But he's signed with Vertigo now. He's doing Sweet Tooth. Oh, Jeff Lemire. He's doing Sweet Tooth. And now he's going to be writing Superboy pretty soon, which scares me because I don't want it. You know how many, you know, like Judd Winnick, how many great independent writers become superhero writers and then they fold in with them and they never come out and it's just doom. But the Essex County is 3 separate stories. Also, wow, this is a theme about loneliness.
Are you lonely, Kevin?
Are you saying indie comics are all about loneliness?
They're about cutting yourself.
Do you miss Lita?
I read these when Lita was around. No, I read this one. No, when she wasn't around.
That explains it.
I see.
But it's really great, and his style is so strange because he sketches and doodles out everything, so it really looks not finished, but kind of somewhat ugly, but the stories are so good that it actually brings everything together, and this kind of like meandering plot works very well with that kind of sketch look. It's also got that same kind of thing where you don't really get to see the end.
You really like
there.
That kind of thing, don't you?
Yes, because I'm just like, oh, so good.
That's why you like Inception so much.
Yeah.
That is exactly why you like Inception.
No,
I'm kidding.
I come up with like 5 or 6 different possibilities about what's going on. Yeah, that's Essex County. It's great.
Cool. Andy.
Okay, so my number 2 is Bone.
Ooh, good choice.
Damn,
that was
I did not think
one.
About Bone.
You didn't think of
it's
Bone?
Like right there. It's like so big. Your bone is so big.
Actually, your bone is one volume. My bone is the solid, the separate volumes. So
he's
it's
saying
even
his
bigger.
Bone is bigger than yours.
His bone is split and ribbed.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
We missed you.
So your bone is in digest form, then?
Yes. I don't know where to go from there.
Stop! Just talk about bone now.
Okay.
Is that what we're doing?
Is your bone
colored? No, it's actually black and white.
So you didn't get the kids' colored bones then?
No.
Okay.
So talk about bone.
You know, okay.
Directly.
So Bone, who's it's written and drawn by Jeff Smith, like most indie comics. It took forever to come out because it was basically he was just doing it by himself on his own schedule, and I didn't really get into it until it was maybe halfway through. So I, you know, bought the trades and then and to get caught up and started buying the singles as they were coming out, and it was another one of those stories that you can tell he had a plan for where it was going, and that I'm just a big fan of the things that don't just meander on forever, like superhero comics, and just work from storyline to storyline, where there's actual character development and the world changes, and then there's, you know, resolution, and unlike Kevin's comics where he doesn't like the resolution.
There are resolutions. It doesn't feel like it's wrapped up in a bow. It's still like the end of a part of the story.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's got this he's got a very interesting style where a lot of the characters are really cartoony, but then a lot of everything else is very realistic around them, and they're sort of the odd men in the world, you know, almost literally, and it just like follows the bones as they go through would you stop that? getting wrapped up in these really huge events that you see through their eyes.
Cool.
A lot of people will compare it to Lord of the Rings. I actually like it better than Lord of the Rings.
I don't like Lord of the Rings that much. I appreciate its place in history, and I don't like it.
I agree.
There's too much singing for you?
There's too much. There's 100 pages of Tom effing Bombadil.
You don't love Tom Bombadil?
That is correct.
You didn't sign that petition to have him in the movies? Because it would be such a great addition.
That is also correct.
I should make a Tom Bombadil movie. Make it a musical. And
in 3D.
3D Tom Bombadil. He'll frolic straight at you. It'll be even better than Step Up 3D.
Don't worry, they'll
Step
do it.
Step Up 3D is going to be awesome.
Did you see it
Thanks,
yet?
Amy.
No. What? Do you really?
It's such good trash.
But would you really need to see it in 3D?
No.
Yeah.
I really don't need to see it.
But what if 3D is really awesome? What if they're like dancing on your face?
So this is a random thing, but one of the dance
Where
choreographers.
Where did you get that technology?
One of the dance choreographers for Step Up 3D, he's also one of the guys in the background of Glee all the time.
Asian guy?
Yeah, the Asian guy. And he was being interviewed, and it's like, so what's the coolest part of Step Up 3D? And he's like, hell if I know. I mean, I guess there's this one part where my hand's sort of out there and in your face, and it's my hand, and it's like, I just dance. What do you mean? So what if it's in 3D? And it's like, yep, and that is why 3D sucks.
Can we do a segment on Step Up?
Kevin, what do you want to do?
That'll be like the highest listening.
That would require us to watch the movies.
Yeah. I've seen one.
I think I'll pass on that one.
Some of us.
I think Kevin and I would end up shooting each other in self-defense before the end of a couple of Step Ups, just so we could die clean.
I want to see Step Up 3D.
I love watching bad sequels and bad original movies.
You just like watching bad movies, then.
I do.
Okay.
I watched all three Little Mermaids. All
Yeah, well,
three.
So have I, but...
Don't tell them how you saw two.
No, I didn't
By
see
the way,
the,
Kevin
the
owns
third
them.
One.
Oh, God.
Wait, you own the third one, too?
I sold them.
Okay. Because I bought the second
Someone
one.
Bought them?
Because that was before. It was one of the first ones. So I'm like, oh, hey, sequels. Maybe these will actually be bearable. No, they're not. So I didn't buy the third one, but oh my God.
I didn't even know there was a third one until it accidentally showed up at my doorstep. I was like, shh, hey.
Right.
I also saw all three Bring It On.
Wow. That's a lot of Bring It On.
I saw the third one. I like the second one, too.
The third one's so ridiculous.
I only watch bad movies if they're on cable and I have someone to riff with.
But there's commercials.
They make the riffing better. And also, the commercials are kind of a break because the commercials tend to be better than the movie. I mean, trust me, if you watch, let's see, it was Valentine's night or something like that, and we were just hanging around watching movies. It was like 2 a.m. on cable, and it was Bridget Jones's Diary 2.
Oh, The Edge of Reason. Even I haven't seen that. That was the first movie.
That was a terrible, terrible, terrible movie. And we were like, oh, man, this movie's so bad. I'm so glad you're here to share the awfulness with me. So anyway, Amy.
Okay, we're going to move on, actually. Back onto topic.
Back onto topic.
Number two, Cyanide and Happiness.
What's that?
I know what it is.
It's horribly offensive. It's on a site called explosum.net. It's horribly offensive, and they take a lot of stuff with awkward silences and awkward pauses, and I don't know. It's stick figures mostly, but it's pretty hilarious because I like offensive humor.
I like their animations too. Waiting for the bus is my favorite.
All right, is it time for number ones then? I guess it's time for number ones.
I don't know.
My number one. And this is actually completely unshocking, is Mouse.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we've studied that in college, and I just, every time I go back to it, I appreciate it more and more. Just the layers of it, and I'm a sucker for father-son stories, and it's just so powerful in its in what it doesn't tell you, but what, you know, what it allows you to fill in the gaps of. And it's just such great storytelling, and it's done in such a way that you can even show it to children, even though you probably shouldn't, because it'll think about it hard and give them nightmares. But it, you know, it's so deep and so I'm having trouble finding words to describe it.
It's a very emotionally charged and very involving story.
It is, exactly,
and true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 100%, well, not 100% true, but mostly true. And yeah, it's really powerful. And, you know, every once in a while, it just rears back and punches you in the face with a few things that you weren't expecting. Or even if you were expecting them, they just hit you so hard, you know? And every couple of years, I go back to reading Mouse just because I love it that much.
Yeah. I also forgot Mouse despite it being also on my shelf. My number one is the comic that actually got me into independent comics, and it's Same Difference in Other Stories by Derek Kirk Kim.
Yes.
Hey, another story about loneliness, and
another local artist.
Yeah, and a local artist, and it kind of ends a bit before it's supposed to end.
Maybe we should just go to APE next year.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to APES this year, too. I go to APE.
It's in October, isn't it?
Yeah. Is
it?
Okay, let's just go to APE.
Yeah. Let's go to APE. Woo.
Yeah, Ape is like a 2-3 hour kind of experience.
That's true.
For most people. But I really like the story. It is one of those books I picked up in that front kind of area in Comic Relief, and I was like, wait, what's this? I'm gonna check it out because maybe this is gonna be interesting. I can stop reading Spider-Man.
Did you stop reading Spider-Man?
I did.
Actually,
I went back. I caught up.
Speaking of APE, I remember that one year that I went, for some reason, I don't know why, I picked up a random indie comic about superhero hamsters.
Thanks,
yeah,
Andy.
But it was really bad.
Oh.
Was it adapted into G-Force?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It might have been adapted into G-Force.
Those were guinea pigs, not hamsters. Stop. Stop making fun
of me. They adapted it to Cats and Dogs, too. Except they replaced all the hamsters.
With cats and dogs.
I'm sorry,
so
Andy.
Awful. Oh, so awful.
You saw it?
It looks so awful. Oh. No! Oh. This is the first one. They've been showing trailers for this movie for the last year. Literally a year they've been showing trailers for this movie.
Cats and Dogs 2?
Yes.
The Revenge of Kitty Galore.
Keep wanting to say Pussy Galore.
Yeah.
You can say that.
All right, Andy, your number one?
Okay, so my number one, which pushed all the other ones down, is Narbonic.
Ooh. Interesting.
So, webcomic by, I'm going to say her name correctly, it's Shannon.
Hey, cheater. Tell us if he's right.
Garrity.
I have no idea.
When I met her at WonderCon, I walked up to her and it's like, are you Shannon? She said, it's Shannon. I'm like, and I will always remember that. So anyway, it's another comic. It's sort of along the same lines as Girl Genius, but it's done in strip form. So it's like a normal 4-panel comic. And she just has this amazing skill to get an ongoing story that goes while also delivering a punchline that is actually funny every day. And The series has since finished. It is available in trade, and she's moved on to another project called Skin Horse, where she is co-writing and drawing, which is kind of along the same lines and is just as funny. But Narbonic was, it's one of those things where it was her first big thing. Her drawing style sort of evolved along the, as it went. So you have to sort of look past the, some of the chicken scratch stuff on the first couple of years, but the story is really good. The characters are really well, and it is funny.
Yeah. I haven't thought about Narbonic in years.
No, it is not lonely at all.
Then it's not for Kevin.
Yeah. It's not for Kevin.
Funny. And who wants that?
And it is also one of those things where she had a plan where it was going and she knew exactly what she was doing. Of course, some of the things stretched out longer than she would have liked. It's great because she has been, because originally it is a webcomic and it ran every day for the 6 years. And so after it ran, she started running it again, but this time she has commentary. And so she talks about, you know, every day it'll be, here's the strip from 6 years ago. And, you know, a little bit of commentary on the bottom explaining the thought processes and complaining about her drawing style and, like, what was I thinking when I did this? And, oh, my God, her hair is too big. And
Cool.
Amy? All right, my number one. Let's see if you guessed this right, Kevin.
Is it The Oatmeal?
It is! Yeah, so The Oatmeal. Sarcastic, smart, funny. I like it.
Very simple, very nice yes. little synopsis for us, Amy. So I like how even though this topic was inspired by Scott Pilgrim,
none of us put
Scott Pilgrim on our list.
It doesn't belong on any of our lists, I don't think.
I mean, as I said in the episode, I didn't really get into it until late.
I would also like to mention something I forgot, a webcomic from Keen Su called Exit Music, which is also about loneliness. And they tend to end before the ending.
All right.
We tend to gravitate toward the kind of stories we like, I guess.
Story.
Actually, although Scott Pilgrim didn't make on anyone's list, I think Brian Lee O'Malley has better, like, little short story things that he illustrates that are much better than Scott Pilgrim.
He has more than
his
Scott
loneliness
Pilgrim.
Stories are good.
I know, really? Lost at Sea. It's not in my top of loneliness
but
and
it's
ending
good.
Before things are supposed to end kind of. I'll reread it, but I remember the first time I read it, I was sort of like, this guy, I think he did it before Scott Pilgrim, right? Or in the middle of it, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I was like, this guy's still a bit young, and he doesn't, mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going in the right directions. Thankfully, we talked about it already! Yeah!
Yeah, way to be somewhere.
These don't get recorded before the actual shows.
See, I was trying to, you know, like, play as if it was.
Andy played his off well.
Kevin!
Kevin Hicksney on the recording ring. You have no idea what I just said, do you?
No, I know what
okay.
Pei Atinlay is.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's our look at independent comics. So the next question I had is, how many of us actually read more indie comics than superhero comics these days? I mean, Kevin, you're sort of on the fence there, right?
I balance them. Usually what ends up happening is it's so rare I read a good superhero comic story.
They do exist.
Yeah, I know. They do. And then, but every time I'm like supposed to read something else, someone's like, you should probably check it out. I'm like, I read an independent story.
Of course,
I'm just
thinking of that. I'm like, good independent superhero. Oh, wait, yes. Astro City
is so good.
Which none of us mentioned. Should have. But is it?
It's superhero, though.
Yeah,
so
superhero. That's why I didn't think about it.
I don't count, because it's Wildstorm, too.
I
thought it started in like top 10 or something like that.
Yeah, it's
top 10 is a comic.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so
it was
America's Best Comics.
America's Best.
Oh, it was America's Best. That's right, which was technically
DC. Which eventually became DC.
Yeah. So
Astro City is so good.
Yeah.
Like the best superhero comics I've ever read.
Astro City is the one with all, like, where everything in the city is a superhero, right? Including the mice and the.
No, that's top 10.
I'm thinking of top 10.
You're thinking of top 10.
Dang it.
No, Astro City is basically, it's not about the superheroes. They're not superhero stories. They're stories that take place in a world where there happen to be superheroes.
Okay.
Sometimes it's about loneliness.
But the stories always end.
Every story in Astro City is, like, gloriously good. It's just every time I read it, I'm just like, oh, damn you other stories that are terrible. And then even good stories feel terrible compared to Astro City.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that ends this episode. You can find us online, www.s-words-podcast.com. You can email us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. It's been a while since we actually read that. And you can go to Twitter, twitter.com/s_words. I think that's it.
I think that is.
Okay. Because sometimes someone forgets and inserts this recording.
This is totally not recording
this after the show.
The Twitter.
I did that at 2 a.m. I had to mumble.
it was like so different. I was listening to it. I was like, oh, everything's nice and clear. And then it's like, this is dog.
Yeah. I did it at 2 a.m. I didn't have the right facilities.
I guess I haven't heard that one.
The first comment we got on that episode was like, did you really record this?
I'm like, no, not at all.
All right.
So am I actually going to say the whole thing now? Do you want me to do that? Or
no, I thought we just said it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's just stop then.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
This episode's over.